for most women is related to men, marriage, divorce, all kinds of great things that come up. We spoke at the beginning about Shidduchim, Siman Beis, or how, what to look for. Well, it's for the Peruvu, which is the Siman Aleph, and the Chema Ben Agarish, all this we started talking about. We cannot go into everything, and this is a very big volume, and we don't have too much leeway. But I'll try to go through some of the highlights. Shidduchim, Siman Beis, or how, what to look for. Well, it's for the Peruvu, which is the Siman Aleph, and the Chema Ben Agarish, all this we started talking about. We cannot go into everything, and this is a very big volume, and we don't have too much leeway. But I'll try to go through some of the highlights. Shulchan Aruch tells us that a person can only marry a woman, it's written for a man, but of course, it takes two. The man can't marry the woman can't marry the man, that's a general rule. Who is not permissible to marry into Klal Yisrael, for example, a mamzer. A mamzer is someone who is the result, offspring of a seriously illicit relationship, over the old term. I mean, if there's a prohibition which is either adulterous or incestuous, such a child of such a relationship is called a mamzer. And that we should not jump to conclusions based upon the jarred tone of that term. It could be a case of a mamzer obviously not no fault of the mamzer himself or herself, mamzeres, but even the parents might not be completely at fault. There are cases in which a woman is under the impression that her husband died, maybe there's a witness to that effect, but who knows what, who witnesses even. And then she remarries, and then guess what, her husband shows up. Bad news, child would be a mamzer because it's from a man other than her husband who was alive at the time. It's a serious problem. Interestingly, if the father of this married woman, the father of the child who had a child with this married woman is not Jewish, it saves the day. Woman who's married to Reuven has a child from Shimon, that child is a mamzer. If a woman is married to Reuven has a child from John, then the child is not a mamzer. Now, we are taught that if we're not sure whether the child is a mamzer or not, it's called a safek, the Torah permits it. Only if you know it's a mamzer. I'm telling you this for an important reason. Because the case we suspect illegitimacy, you don't know. Sometimes it's better just not to find out. Don't ask too many questions. Don't get involved. You have a right to assume the child is kosher. Not always. If you ever come across a situation, just don't do anything until you ask a competent rabbi. Don't do anything. You can tell you just forget about it. Aside from prohibitions which are across the board, apply to all members of the Jewish people, mamzer may not marry, mamzeret may not marry. I should add, they may marry certain people. A mamzer can marry a mamzeret. Marry each other, or they can marry a ger or gioris, a convert. They marry a mamzer or mamzeres, as the case may be. The problem in both those cases is the children are also mamzeres. So you're passing on, you know, stigmatized children. It's not such a, not so pleasant. Either one. You call it a dominant gene? Either one, it goes along the Yerusha. Of course, if a mom is a child of a non-Jewish woman, the child's not Jewish at all, the taint of the mamzeres is removed. Of course, you know, I mean, the greatness of intermarriage, you know, at least the one in intermarriage, you know, this is,
But then they can
convert. True. But you can't recommend that marriage in the first place. There is a wild, absolutely wild idea based on a Mishnah which some have extended to the modern world. A whole lot written about in the recent complication. Mishnah says in Kiddushin, I have a way to get out of the problem of Mamzer for a male. Female won't help, but for a male. Let the man marry what we call a Shifcha Kananis. Sort of quasi-Jewish, like an Ebbet Kanani, so she's a Shifcha Kananis. It's learned by the Chumash. The Shifcha Kananis is permitted to marry, for a number of reasons, but that doesn't mean. And the child is an Ebbet, or Shifcha, male or female, not completely Jewish, no taint among them. The child can then convert to Judaism. And then, after this woman, the wife, has passed the childbearing years, she can also convert. Even someone who has done it. But the one problem. What's the problem? Lincoln freed his legs. Lincoln freed his legs. What do you have, a ship looking at us? Can't have that. She would never marry to the father in a formal sense, halachic sense. There's no kiddushin between a Jewish man and a Shifcha Kananis. If the Jewish man happens to be a mamzer, so his living with her is permissive. Yes?
But that's also the problem
of
passing on mamzer
to the
generation.
This
doesn't take away the
mamzer
as a man.
He's a mamzer, but alright, so live his life as a mamzer, living with his wonderful, what you might call de facto wife for the first 20 years, and then maybe she'll become a lawfully wedded wife if she converts when she no longer is going to have any more children. So that's the question, whether it works or not, because there's no slavery. You can create legalistic slavery. Some say yes, some say no. There's a whole lot of written about it. Besides these prohibitions which apply across the board, there are additional prohibitions for a Kohen. The entire simon, more dedicated to the problem of a Kohen. Rob, it's wonderful to be a Kohen. To be able to long over the Beis HaMikdash, wonderful. The Miwal one. So let's take a step back. Shulchan Aruch talks about, as far as all marriages, we got a Kohen for the moment. I'll go back to this following case. Look at this following case. A woman was married, and her husband was overseas for a year, and she had a child. So things don't look too good for this child. So, says the Shulchan Aruch that to the mamzer. Up to a year, believe it or not, they say, well, maybe it's a very long pregnancy.
Did she have the child after the year or in that year?
No, after the year. But if there's circumstantial evidence that she was unfaithful, then we don't, you know, then we have to be more strict in this matter because husband wasn't around. Husband was around, and even though she was unfaithful, He found the majority. As soon as the majority of her unions were with her husband, and then because she may have this extramarital fling, the child could be assumed to be from the father. Now, today with DNA, you know, all bets are off. DNA, I have to speak to the Mr. Barry Sheck on the Yeshiva University faculty, who apparently is an expert in DNA. So,
It's
a very serious question. I was going to bring it up, but since you jumped the gun, we'll bring it up right now. Does the halacha recognize non-orthodox marriage? The answer is, it depends how it's done. If a man gives a woman a ring and says, "Hareya v'kadesha shli," and there are two kosher witnesses, then they are married. I don't care what rabbi, even if no rabbi is there. And therefore the basic question is really what happened. For a Moshe Feinstein that tells other children, when she writes that we can assume that the average of four marriage, nothing happened. How can you say that? I don't know. I don't know what for sure. But some of the research, what they do, he does give her a ring in most cases. Well, halakhically, you are not married unless two witnesses saw it, two kosher witnesses saw it. And if, even though you and your husband admit that they gave you the ring, if there were not two kosher witnesses there, the marriage is no marriage. What's very important, there are many cases in which the reform of conservative marriage, there are merchants that tell you to ask for the guest list. Fancy wedding. My wedding was no guest list, but the at the fancy weddings, they have a guest list. You know, comes in there with the thomas, the registry, whatever, however it works, and he would check one by one to make sure that everybody there was not religious. If they're all not religious, say okay, so she's not married. He would require a get anyway, whenever possible. But if there was no get, and she married somebody else, had a child, the Ramosha would say the child is kosher. Based on the fact that the first marriage is no marriage. But the reform and the concern were up in arms against her Moshe. A chutzpah. He's delegitimizing our marriage ceremonies. They didn't realize what kind of baby was doing for them. If not for that tzak, there'd be hundreds of thousands of Zayim running around. Tens of thousands. Tens of thousands of second marriages in reform, conservative, or, I don't know, just the peace marriages that are going on within two Jews. But Moshe said, in all cases, Katkhili should get a get, since they're living together with man and wife, but with the Yevon, if they couldn't get the get, and she had a child, he would be allowed to remarry, but certainly if she remarried and had a child, he would say the child is kosher.
That if there were
religious
people at the wedding, religious people
who
could be kosher even
though
they weren't eating
from the... That's the question. If they saw the giving over of the ring, then it's a serious problem. But as I understand it, many of the reform conservatives, they have a fancy ceremony. Apparently, they have the chosen kala, and as I understand it, facing front, and the rabbi faces the crowd, which is the way they're going to do it. Correct? To the movies? No? That's how they're going to do it. Correct? Am I right or wrong? Am I right? No? Don't look to move anymore. Watch TV anymore.
I don't know.
Is that the way? Everyone does that? Some rabbis are opposed to it. The Yekkes do it that way. Because the Yekkes, I mean, I'm sorry to say, their ceremonies come from come from their customs. And their customs were large partly, I don't know, partly based on the customs of the general community. The whole idea of getting married in shul, for example. Chas himself had carried on against that. The reforms that he picked up from the Goyim. And Chas v'shalom to get married in shul is terrible. Your rabbis, Rav David Lipschitz, of Allah, would not go into a wedding in the shul, period. Period. No ands, no ifs, no buts. I'm going to the Chas to a very close town of Rav David, and they couldn't have get married in shul because the father Was the rabbi in the shul? He wasn't married in that shul. He came after the chuppah. Wouldn't come to the chuppah. Shouldn't I finish? Why? Because the Chassam Sofer says copying the reform or copying the goyim. Either the Yankees did it. Look at the Rav Shamshu and the Pearl Hirsch, whoever else, he felt that they have to do it this way, otherwise it wouldn't. So he did it, okay. He was a tzaddik and son of Olam. But let's be honest, the idea of having the shul, and as Rav once pointed out, the idea of having the chassid kal with their back to the crowd, and the Rav facing the crowd, this is really, as I was told, was also coming from the goyim. So by the goyim, the priest celebrates the wedding mass. The priest is marrying them. But in halacha, not that way. The rabbi is marrying them. The expression we use. The chos marries the gala. So they're the ones who are doing the action. They're the one who's facing forward. So he preferred, once at the wedding, and I was beside the Mishnah. The little baby was sitting next to me. He said, if you don't mind, if you know the custom to the contrary, prefer. If you have the chassid kala face the crowd, so that that's better that way. That's what he felt. Others say it depends which way they face east, they face west. Anyway, but I'm told in a reformist conservative, they have the chassid kala facing the backs of the crowd, which is great news for the Jews. But nobody sees going on. Nobody sees it. They have two appointed witnesses, who may be male, female, all kinds of things. That is possible. Who? A mom's a kosher witness? Sure. But they probably have no kosher witnesses up front, and there's people in the back of the kosher see what's flying. And therefore, you can assume that the wedding, that's a reversal, you can assume the wedding is not considered a wedding, even if there are kosher witnesses, if he's really stuck. But that's really pushing it. Yes?
So,
the children of the first marriage are considered by Allah to be born, forgive the expression, out of wedlock. Baruch Hashem, they're kosher the Mahadrin. If a child is born from an unmarried husband, a man and woman, or not married to each other to anybody else, that child is kosher. OU. Absolutely kosher. I would glad, I don't know, but certainly kosher. Yes?
Back to
the DNA thing, are you obligated to get a test? No, I didn't say that. Some rabbis will not accept DNA. Period. Matter of principle.
What
was
that? If the husband was around, then she
would
know.
No,
you have to check.
We don't check. I personally feel that maybe it would be something to, if it were proven to us, I would take it to a greater account than some other rabbis. But just to go do it, I'll be able to do it. So soon. Some of their problems, the kid looks.
Yeah.
You know, the looks give it away. And the famous story. This is a world famous story. Unbelievable story. There was a man learning at the Kollel in Eretz Yisrael. And he got married, had a child, and the child was black. He suspected his wife. He didn't understand what to do with this. He tumbled the whole world, what's going on over here? I can't I help. And the child would be a mamzer, mind you, assuming that the black was not Jewish, the child would be a mamzer. But his wife, if she lived with the non-Jew willingly, she wasn't forced upon, it wasn't a case of rape, but willingly, then she would be prohibited to her husband. That's what's called sota. Right? Everyone knows about sota. That's not allowed. He was tumbling. Finally, it's a believe it or not story. An absolute believe it or not story. His mother pipes up, I think she was an American. His mother pipes up and says, Eschata'ai ani maskira hayo. She apparently never had been raped by a black man 30 years before. Had a white child, you know, 50-50, didn't say anything to anybody. Maybe she didn't know that the child was from that encounter. She made it foolish. She looked at Shulchan Aruch. Ro Bilas on her about. She suddenly came from husband. Well, she realized 30 years later that was not the case. So this fellow who was tumbling about his wife, you know, his wife was 100% clean. It was, he came from a very interesting, not as interesting, go on to that. This is a story which apparently is a true story, apparently. I mean, never heard of these stories, you never know, they're directly involved in the case. But I would. So listen, these are stories in real life. You know, so I hope they live happily ever after. But I mean, these are serious matters. Very serious matters. Marriage is serious, you know. We believe in us, marriage is very serious, very holy. You know, in America today, unfortunately, the whole concept of marriage is so loose. Loose marriage, open marriage, no marriage. It's just the whole... I mean, you know, and the goyish mentality, unfortunately, filters into Jewish homes. That's just the way it is. In the outside world, when I grew up in the 50s, was that called Ozzie and Harry? Is that what everyone calls it now? I don't remember that. Some other people remember that. I don't remember Ozzie and Harry. I remember Father Knows Best. That's what I remember. But, and the Lone Ranger. But in those days, adultery was considered a crime. It was a crime in books, and you know, when you do it, but it was considered a scandal. Today? It's nothing. And unfortunately, it has a ripple effect even on the Jewish, believe it or not, the Jewish community, believe it or not, it's hard to believe, but you know too many stories, you're not careful. You have to be very careful, that's what Yichud learned from. You have to be very careful with this Yichud business, even if you find a heter, but we don't take every heter over here. You have to be very strict in these matters, very strict. I'll tell you only one story, I can tell you stories all night, but I'll tell you one story. It's so sad. The circumstances are almost comical. I'm sitting in the base medrash one day and I got a call on the payphone. I put it on the payphone. It was a certain rabbi from a certain shul in my local community. I just got a phone call from some lady. The lady went to Las Vegas for a business trip. Her husband's a rabbi. Someone has to make a living. So he's a rabbi somewhere, and she went to Las Vegas for a business trip. You know, Las Vegas is a lonely place. Never been there. I think that's a stove of America. I understand it. And she went to look. A lot of legitimate business conventions. I'm sure she went to a legitimate business convention. It was in Las Vegas. One of those slots. This story could happen anyway. It just happened in the den of iniquity, but it could happen anyway. So, you know. As according to the rabbi told me, she's a Beis Yaakov girl. She's a Beis Yaakov background. I'm just telling you the way this story was told to me. But you know, a whole day, apparently business, no, apparently a lot of tension. You know, she went for a company, a sale, and a deal, and she had a whole day of tension. How do you break the tension? She made the first cardinal sin. She went to the lobby where everyone's milling around, and she had a drink. That's a terrible, terrible mistake. In my opinion, drinking should be prohibited at all times. I kid you not. I mean, she did drink Coca-Cola, but next time I she wouldn't drink wine, it was the Ainesik, Chas V'Shalom. She must have drunk some whiskey that, you know, even men too, but certainly women, you know, could go to the head and it loosened her up a little bit. It's her description. I heard it from the rabbi, I heard it from her. She's sitting there, during a little, in the first cardinal era, and some guy walks over to her and offers to buy her a drink. Now, I can't believe she would ever said yes, not for the first drink. Here she is, far away from home, a whole day of business, she would have had one drink. She went to the second cardinal era. She said yes. People want to drink, but you know, in the goyish world, you buy someone a drink, you know what that means. It'll be a pickup. But sure enough, he gives her the drink, he drinks, she drinks, and then when he walks up to her room, right? That's going to be polite. I don't want to continue the story, it's too painful for me to continue. The shyly that she put it to her husband. After her own description of her real cardinal sin, one of the big three. And she said, well, you know, I pushed open the door, I really wanted to come in, but I didn't scream, I didn't have something, whatever, it was a disaster. The only possible permissibility, only one, that we don't believe in. We don't believe this story. Shulchan Aruch says, based on the Mishnah in the Torah, a woman claimed that she was unfaithful, we don't believe it. And the reason is, maybe she's using this as an excuse to get out from the marriage in order to marry her boyfriend. You know, if a woman is married, she's married for life, that's it. She can't get out of her marriage. She can't initiate divorce. That's our opening shiur. Right, the husband wants to divorce her, but he doesn't want to divorce her. She's a wonderful woman. Why should he divorce her? So she makes up the story, fabricates the story, you know. My dear husband, I love you very much, but you're a wonderful man. I'm sorry to break the bad news. You are unfaithful. As a result, you can't live with me anymore. I'm a sota, and therefore you're never going to have to give me a gift. It's a trick she's going to use in order to be able to marry that Prince Charming who's waiting in the wings. She gets divorced. The rabbis say, don't believe. Wow. This is powerful stuff. Are there exceptions to that rule? Is there certain circumstantial evidence? I don't want to bore you with some of the stories where they're so entertaining. I mean, they're pitiful stories. I get the story usually secondhand. Thank God, a million times. I haven't had to deal with this question directly. Yes. As far as her being prohibited to her husband, there's no difference. As far as a child, there's a difference, I told you before. The rabbi called me. This is from the metropolitan area. That is a case of a woman who is suspected of, living with another man. So they hired a private eye. That's what gets excited. They hired a private eye. And the private eye, the detective, went and had videos of her going into the hotel with this guy, coming out of the hotel with this guy, motel, in and out. And the whole tumult, had the tumult come up? Shul. So the husband was very aggrieved by this. Doesn't want to let this man, who's hanging out with his wife, buy tickets for Rosh Hashanah or something like that. I just got the crazy story. Isn't that story here? I'm not telling my story all the way. I'm in the truck area. So what should I do? Yeah, videos, back and forth, and the denials, the counter charges, and these questions have come up in real life. I kid you not, I can tell you a story. I could really go on for a long time with these kinds of stories. Yeah, we live in a difficult world. And the worst thing is, I'm sorry to say it, is that the whole change in life that exists, the working place, traditionally, at the time of the Shulchan Aruch, the woman didn't go out to work. I can tell you stories that can make you cry of women who were very nice. I mean, obviously they weren't so nice, but they were nice. They went out to work, and then they were involved in this kind of a terrible... I even have a family story about it. Mother was fine. Couple married, and the woman goes out to work, and I'm friendly with the boss, whoever it is. Now this relative of mine is divorced. Remarried. It was a tragedy. This woman is the mother of his children, and now he's cut off from his children. And this woman, I mean, it's terrible. Another case we just had, just recently. Also, this is all our matching file there, a woman who was working somewhere, and the husband suspected her of adultery, hired a private eye. Yeah. They went to this, they went to here, they went to there. And she claimed it was only a business relationship and nothing more than that. And we had a party, there was no proof positive, so we have to, remake them. But it's still just the feeling there, it's terrible. She's so, so careful. Okay, I'm sorry that we're this kind of so dramatic, but I think it's very important that you realize what we're dealing with over here. woman who says about her child, but not from her husband, from somebody else, she's not believed. Not a case. I haven't had a case. A woman told her son on her deathbed, I want you to know you are not from a son I had with my husband, but you're from somebody else. The guy was absolutely devastated. Then to the rabbi, what do I do? The rabbi went to the bigger rabbi, or the biggest rabbi, who said three words. Kosher ain't an immense. His child is kosher, because she's not believed. Finish. Wow. Shema, believe. My father, on the other hand, is believed. A so-called father. The supposed father would say about his supposed son is not my son. And he is believed. It's called Yaakov. The whole complicated story. Then of course you have the problems of foundling. It's called a Sufi. That's something I should have guessed.
Why would he not believe women on his deathbed? Because
it's
obvious
he's not
trying to get out of your marriage.
That's it. Not believe. That's complicated. No, I would have connections with that psalm, but that's not believed. There's only one person. The imagine you need two witnesses. There's only one person. The supposed, presumed father has a special positive belief. Otherwise not. No, not only she would. No one witnesses would believe. Me too. Yeah. Right. Right. One witness. If there's one male witness to say the same thing, he also wouldn't be believed. Father's a special puzzle. Father, Yaki, special puzzle. Not a male-female distinction as such. Father's a special memo.
Right,
you bet, but that's what the Torah says. I'm only here to try to save marriage, I'm trying to save children. I think it's better. What about a foundling? What's a foundling? You don't have anyone. The child that's put on the steps of the church, or steps of the shul. Right? The parents
abandoned. Like a foundling.
Can I call it a foundling? That's what it's called?
I didn't know there was a particular name for it.
No one in this room knows the word? Am I making a mistake? It's a word, no? Just read Charles Dickens. They're on every other page. What's the din? The din is, it's a suffix mamzer. Don't know where it comes from. What, where, who, why, we don't know anything. These days you don't find too many of these situations. You have the equivalent. It's called adoption. Adoption is a major, major problem. Especially that they very often hide the parentage from the adoptive parents. We know that. They hide them. So the saving grace is, I mean, good or bad, that the majority is not Jewish. You adopt a non-Jewish child. The child is not Jewish. But on the other hand, if it's not Jewish, it can't be a non-Jewish. So what do? You convert the child. How do you convert the child? If they didn't get caught, you can convert, assuming he's being brought up in an Orthodox background. Yes, what's the question?
What you say not
well, whether she said it, whether she doesn't say it, in either case, the child's not a mamzer. Because we have no proof that the child's a mamzer.
Let's say she has an affair before she married her husband.
Before she married her husband? Ah, Baruch Hashem, the child really is not a mamzer. Then the child is really not a mamzer. Yes?
If we say that it's a suffix mamzer, and we say that suffix mamzer can
marry... By Torah law is permissible, by rabbinic law is not.
Oh, it's not permissible.
By rabbinic law is not. So usually we don't know about it, so you don't have to do it quite so much.
So then what, I mean, but it seems so contradictory, because we have all these mitzvos, you know, for orphans, and, you know, and so, but on
that's
the flip side, we don't...
An orphan is somebody, you know his father, you know his mother, they died. That's an orphan.
Also.
That's an orphan, yes.
Mm-hmm.
By mitzvah, bas mitzvah, they re-accept it. Yes.
I don't understand that if you're like if there's this case of suffix malasar and there are DNA tests, what's the effect to not use them? Like, you have the ability, I mean, how do you say that you shouldn't try?
I don't know, that's a good question. I don't know. I have to look at the book. So those possible don't accept the test at all. I got the test.
Better mistakes,
I don't know. They say we don't have it, because we have it. I don't know, I better read. For those who do accept it, why shouldn't they be required? That's a good question. Yes?
Okay, so I think mom and Rabbanan is not
Muslim,
but it's
a selfie.
So why would
you
want to
say
that? Yeah, or you don't
know. There's many complex halachas. You have to watch out when it comes to adopting children for two things. They'll sell you a bill of goods, much bigger question. They'll try to convince you to adopt the child, they'll say the child is Jewish. I'm not talking about today, I'm talking about 30 years ago. They would offer the adoptive agency, would say it is a Jewish child. And this is based on the child for the yeshiva, and the child is already marriageable age. Who said the child was Jewish? The adoptive agency, who said they're telling the truth? They're not believed. It's a very serious problem. Yes?
What if a couple gets married and the woman has
it depends on the child is from. If the child is from this, I take it back. The child is a kosher child, wherever it's from.
And the husband and wife are committed to each other.
Why not? Technically speaking, an interesting prohibition which the Shulchan Aruch speaks about. If a woman had a child with a man, other than her own husband, it could be even legitimate. She became pregnant, okay, and got divorced. Unfortunately, okay, like that. They got divorced while she was pregnant. No more stories for her right now. So she got pregnant, got divorced, and now she needs companionship. She wants to marry somebody else while she's still pregnant with the child from the first one. Well, the first one, the husband died when she was a week pregnant. Now, 3 months later, whatever, that she wants to remarry. So it says in the Shulchan Aruch, based on the Gemara, that a man may not live with a woman who is either pregnant from some other man, follow the case, right? Or even if she's nursing a child from some other man. This is irrelevant. Let's say, this actually happened. The case of a woman who had a child and never her husband was killed, shortly afterwards, and she was left with an infant child, and of course, she needed to remarry. She was a young woman. And she met a fine young man. He wanted to marry her, she wanted to marry him. But the child was only a year and a half old, or something like that at the time. And the poskim say, based on the Gemara, that until 2 years pass, either she's not nursing him, it doesn't make a difference. He's considered what's called menegas chaver, so she could have been nursing for the age of two, at least the wiener two. So he couldn't marry her until the 2 years passed. He married exactly 2 years exactly after the Nebuch, the child was 2 years old, and the next day they were married. So that's a problem. Incidentally, that's an interesting question. What happens if the father is not Jewish? Would that prohibition apply? So it comes up. Artificial insemination. A woman's married to a man. We're getting a little far afield. But it's all in the sim, it's all in here. Everything is here. A woman's husband can't have children. She did a test, 10 tests, 100 tests. He cannot have any children. No sperm, nothing. You know, unfortunately, this case exists. You can cry, but it exists. He cannot make a pregnant. No way in the world. It's impossible. But they tried everything, operation, nothing, zero. She desperately wants a child. So she can get divorced. That's one option. But she loves her husband, she doesn't want to get divorced. The only aid is artificial insemination from the sperm of somebody else. If she can't get pregnant because something's with antibodies, or maybe what we call orthodox infertility, the syphilis neither makes it impossible, and they do what they call AIH, artificial insemination from the husband. That's okay. That's what to do when there's no other alternative. What about what they call AIV? artificial condition of a donor. What's it in?
Oh.
This is such a hot issue. There were Moshe Feinstein's tire was slashed over this. Not the tire, he didn't have the car, but the car that took him back and forth to the yeshiva, the tires were slashed. And Rav Moshe said it's mutter. Rav Moshe said it's mutter. Even from a Jewish donor, he said the child would not be considered a mamzer. But he said it's preferable to have a non-Jewish donor for a variety of reasons. And Satmar Rebbe screamed, bloody murder! This is adultery in the child, a mamzer, and it was a raging battle. Back 40 years. Let's assume it's mutter like Rav Moshe said, to a goy, a goy wouldn't be a mamzer. Alright. So she becomes pregnant. Somebody said, ha, very nice, she wants to have a child, but she can't live with a husband for 3 years. Two years and 9 months. The first 9 months she's called Mu Beres Kavera, and the next 2 years she's called Menekes Kavera. So what kind of shalom bias are they going to have? But the Poskim say it doesn't apply, that's an abnormal case, it's not normal. First of all, the glory is not called Kavero. And they say, well, maybe it's a case of insemination, it's different. Shlomo Zalman tells a whole piece about this in one of his articles. He says that we can be linked to this. There's serious shadows here. What's the halachic status of a child born without a sacrificial insemination? So we believe it can be related to the, assuming the father is Jewish and the mother is Jewish, he relates back to the father. The father fulfills Peruvu. So the husband has to do it because of his needle or because of some antibodies. And he injects his own zera into the woman, into his wife. So he's considered to have fulfilled Peruvu. The child is his child. For all practical purposes, that's how most posts can hold. Not everyone, but the most posts can hold. Yeah?
Because the donor is a child.
That's another problem. The donor is not really the father's. It's not really the father's. Husband's child, so then it'll be the problem is called about adoption, right? He's good, the gear, the whole list. So you have to make sure it's a boy, right? So they have now. They have these sperm centrifuge that they can. They knock out the XX, the XY, the chromosome. It's a shiloh, but in this case, maybe it's gonna die to make sure they have boys. If the boys, there'll be no problem with needles or no problem anything because it's her child and it's a boy. So it'll be better to have a boy. Also, if it's a girl and the father is a guy, the girl would not be allowed to marry a Kohen. A girl from a non-Jewish father and a Jewish mother may not marry a Kohen. So since no one knows, it takes a lot of children. Puk lahakha, she'll go out of the car, and then you know, what's the mother going to tell her? If she's here, she usually don't tell her. She don't tell her. That, by the way, P.S. you're from artificial, so they should be told. So they always go out of the guy, oh, he's like, Ma, I met this fantastic young man. What's his name? Cohen. Bring him home. I don't like him.
No, you do like him.
Yeah, so it's better for the boy, right? Because it's a, yes?
Wait, so what happens if you have a couple and she, they'll say that you have a situation where she's not married, she's fine, but he's married and they have a child.
Ooh, a married man and a child from an unmarried woman.
Yeah.
A P. Din, the child's 100% kosher. Because he could have married, he could have taken a second wife by Torah. Okay. Yes? She's not an unmarried woman as present from her boyfriend. Right. Now she says, you better marry me or I'll kill you.
Exactly.
Not only that, but in some cases it's advisable. Oh, this doctor got the whole story over there.
What?
What's the problem? What's the problem? Solve the problem. What do you think the problem?
Not in that one, but in another case, I think if a boy marries a baby and they can't have children, and then she either contaminated or something, and they have a boy, the boy's not going to be a coin.
You better not a coin.
Like, and now.
That's right. It's serious. It's a very serious problem. Oh, yes. Is that a couple? What can I do? I can't make him into a couple. Is that a couple? What am I going to do? Is that a couple? I can't make him into a couple. I can't help it. Sorry. Big problem? Yes.
That sounds like a crazy situation, but let's say a single woman wants to be artificially inseminated.
Oh, yeah, it's not so crazy. I tell you, I don't want to cry. A man came to me. It's so heartbreaking. Absolutely. I'm thinking about it now, 2 months later, I want to cry. He comes to me, shows me a letter from his daughter. Shem Yerachem. Letter from his daughter. The daughter writes a letter to her father, from whom she's not exactly having a great relationship, obviously, before. The father's divorced, she went to her mother, and the father's not from. P.S. She writes to her father a letter telling him about her live-in female companion, Muslim Islam. And he came to me asking, can he invite her to the Seder? When she lived with a Jewish man without marriage, he didn't invite her to the Seder. Now that she's with another woman, so I said, well, I responded, just invite your daughter, but don't invite a friend. I was going to promise to be crying. But then in the middle of the letter, she writes that, no, we were companions, they were faithful to each other, yeah? We want to start a family. Well, look at what I've written about this thing, you know, the woman is single, she's getting older, she's 38, 39, can't find a husband, no problemo. Let's have some artificial insemination, and there you go, raise a child. I have a mother's on I biological clock is ticking away, she wants a child, I have a mother's, but that's not a solution. But anyway, they did it, they didn't ask the child, they did it. The child is kosher. Good. Shalom is a kosher Jew. Very serious problems. I wanted to see the all things that are happening. I'm okay, I'm a goy, the child of the kosher Jew. Very serious, these problems, I wanted to see the old things that are happening, day in, day out. But if you are a Kohen or know someone is a Kohen, you better warn him about certain extra prohibitions we'll get to in a moment. You all, we just finished him a dollar. The way we're going, we'll never get anywhere. You're 100 and something simon, we just finished him a dollar. We went 3 classes after this? Yes.
If there's no problem for Manziris for AID, then why would there be a problem for the daughter marrying a Kohen?
Because if the child is from a non-Jewish mother, we'll get a non-Jewish father, then we'll see later. The child, that daughter should not marry a Kohen.
If it's a Jewish father, then it's okay?
Yeah. There exists a prohibition called Tzua Daka Kud Shafu. We read about it in the Chumash. What it means is a man who has had his procreative organs maimed, a very serious issue, accidents, chalila, the Nazis, Yimach Shemo, they all kinds of crazy experiments, which had serious child of this nature. Very serious. According to Rove Poskim, as long as a man is able to father a child, this prohibition does not exist.
What prohibition?
This prohibition called Sua Daka Kushap. I thought I'd explain myself. A man whose organs have been maimed, physically maimed, I don't think he has no sperm count, but that doesn't mean anything. It's anatomical problem, castration or sterilization, external. This is a very serious problem. It was an internal sterilization. That's what they do today. They do these various kinds of operations. If the cut is done internally, vasectomy is of its nature. It's a major dispute among the post. Some say vasectomy is granted the man prohibited to marry the Yoris, but not a woman who's been called. Others disagree because it's internal.
What's the answer exactly? He can't marry a woman.
The Pasuk in Chumash. How should he say it? You know the problem came up in prostate surgery. In prostate surgery until recently, after they was for older men, used older men in prostate, to prevent infections, they would simply cut the line that the zera would go through to prevent infections. A big dispute whether it's rendered a man prohibited to live with his wife. So the Chazanish is making. The Rav Moshe is making. The two could only Torah make that the internal is not a problem. Not everybody agrees. Doesn't matter. You're certainly not permitted to do this kind of maiming in the first place. Even an animal. In the first place. Even an animal, you're not permitted to maim the animal so that you cannot have a child. Possibly maybe in 2 weeks, and perhaps a bit more. For a woman, it's a little bit more lenient. Potter Avalosa, because it's same level of prohibition. It is a question of what they call it a tying the tubes. Is that the right word? Tying the tubes? Tubal ligation. It's a big dispute. Pashup Shad is not allowed. Some want to put birth control pills for this reason, which is sitting the the Shulchan says, okay, women may drink what they used to call the kol shel ikrim, a kind of magic potion, which is contraceptive, you don't know what it is. That's permissible, it's not physical. He's a quarter, of Shulchan Aruch, and Simon A, all the local devices, I'm doing big deal with the kids. Tremendous literature about this. Yes?
In a case where a man had this happen to him after he's already married, must he divorce?
one of the simple law of Shulchan Aruch is can't stay with it. I do. Terrible tragedy.
But if you already told him,
isn't
he already
like you? He's Yom Tikkur, but he still has the status of what we call Sua Daka and complicated stories that we try to find foolish whenever we can. Because obviously, if they're already married, we do everything we can to find it ahead. Yes.
For a woman, it's more lenient, right?
Right.
I mean, like, for health reasons, it would be okay for sure, meaning there's a problem like ovarian cancer, you have to, you know.
Prostate, sure. The cool thing is you can do anything.
Okay.
You have cases like, you know, the prostate cancer. Prostate, sure. It's a very serious problem. They do all kinds of things. They cut all kinds of places. The cool thing is, so again, the status of respect to his wife, so maybe we're trying to be lenient because, internally, very complicated. Siman Vav is about special prohibitions against the Kohanim. You know, a Kohen that married a divorced woman, everybody knows that. The Kohen is also not married a woman called a Zona. The word Zona in Yiddish means a woman of ill repute. That's what the word zonah means in Yiddish. That's what it means in Hebrew. I mean, in Chumash Yiddish, it doesn't mean that. It says in the Torah, Isha zonah, it doesn't mean a woman who is promiscuous. It's a specific halachic term. What does it mean? The woman is either a convert, a Kohen may not marry a Gioros. People don't realize that. A Kohen may not marry a woman who converted, period. Nor may he marry a woman who had relations with a man prohibited to her. All in the category of Zona. With certain exceptions. I'll give you some of the most serious issue. If she had an encounter with a non-Jewish man. That's the most serious. It's one of the most heartbreaking shadows you get. It comes up every day. Every day. You have that kind of big Baal Tshuva movement. Baal and Baal Tshuva movement. But if a woman comes to Baal Tshuva when she's 21 and she's been through a secular college in the dormitory, so I don't want to, I can't blame this woman. She doesn't know any better. Chances are she's what we call the experience. And likely it is that over the 4 years in the college dormitory, one of her boyfriends was not Jewish. She may not marry a Kohen. It's a tragedy, but there are many cases where she wants to marry and she goes out with a fellow. I already told you that in my previous class, that in my opinion, the best, most important criterion for compatibility in Shidduchim is the common background. What do you look at the Baal Tshuva is a Kohen? So the best person to marry the Baal Tshuva is a Kohen. A Baal Tshuva, excuse me. If she's a Baal Tshuva, she may have this history which will render her prohibited unto him. Big shyness like that. What they do sometimes? They de-Kohenize the person. That's a trick. They do that. I need to decolonize somebody. It's a very tricky. It's to decolonize people. I need to decolonize somebody. The father is a Kohen. His grandfather is a Kohen. His great grandfather is a Kohen. Well, how many generations is the family not observed? There are many people in America today that go back 3 or 4 or 5 generations of non observed. In that case, all kinds of possibilities present themselves. Someone, maybe didn't tell the truth whether they're calling or not, or one of the mothers of the mother's grandmothers, you know, somewhere, the one of the ladies up on the line of the ancestry. Perhaps she wasn't observant, so perhaps she was married to this Mr. Cohen. But she had a friend on the side. in which case she became what we call a zona. This is a zona both in Yiddish and in Hebrew. And if she had Mr. Cohen two generations ago from her husband, but that Mr. Cohen is not really a Cohen. He's a product of a Cohen and a zona. He's called a cholo. Cholo is empty. It's empty. It's not really a Cohen. Therefore, the Cohen that we're talking about now in 1990, although his name is Cohen, maybe he's not really a Cohen. Yes?
Isn't that logic?
That's another problem. The problem is, you know, you try to do a little research to try to decolonize it, you may de-Israelize it too. Worse, it's worse than that. Then you can make them convert it. You can end right up with the problem of Mamzer. You know, we try not to open up the can of worms, but if you try to decolonize it, instead of picking up, close it up. playing with fire. Serious, this is a serious issue. Very serious problem. The Talmud Rabbi Yashiv said that a Kohen should not marry a Baal Shuv. He'd have too many cases. Rabbi Yashiv, from Yishalayim. Build that post. It's very nice if you're a Kohen, you know, and you've been in Yeshiva your whole life, but if you're a Kohen Baal Shuv, and you take away all the balos too, if you're to marry, you're not going to get too far. If the woman had relations, not with a non-Jew, but I said it before, with adulterous relationships or incestuous relationships, she also becomes a zona, may not marry a Kohen. And the child is not really a Kohen. What happens if she lived when she was a Nida? There's also a serious prohibition. No, that's an exception. If she lived with someone as a Nida, you know, this Kares, she's not considered to be in the category of Zona. Why? She could marry. If she lived with a boyfriend before getting married, who was Jewish, she could have married him. She may marry a Kohen. That's my first question. If a woman is a Baal Tshuva, she says, you know, she has to continue on the side of, she has to now have to tell my history that I was not, I'm not a Basula. My first question is, well, if I may, these encounters that you had, were they Jews or with non-Jews? If it was Jews, then she could marry a Kohen. Even one non-Jew, it's relevant even if she's not marrying a Kohen. Let's say she's marrying a, because I had a case, she married a Yisrael. But it's a big problem. How do you fill out the Ksuba? Fill out the Ksuba, that'll maybe be next week. How do you fill out the Ksuba? So the Ksuba says, the average Ksuba, a woman marrying a person says what we call Besul Tado. This Besul, this version. Rav Moshe was asked what happened, and we all know. The Chosin knows, the Kala knows, everyone knows. She's not a Basula. So Rav Moshe says, no, it's a big deal. So Rav Basula, anyway, all it means is he's obligating himself to a greater amount of money. He doesn't care. So nothing wrong with it. Basula? No way. Oh. So you could change your Basula. That's an embarrassment.
Everyone knows.
Everyone knows.
Because no one sees
the
Kusuba.
It's
weird.
I'll tell you a great story. It's a new story. It's not that I heard the story last month. But I had a case like this. So my opinion is, I would rely on Rav Moshe. Right down the Sultan, though. Not to embarrass her. Yeah, he has a case. But that's a big amount of money. But if she lived with a non-Jew, I'm afraid to have a Sultan. You know why? What will happen if 50 years from now, the husband will die? You don't want to be alone, she'll at least live to 70. She'll die at age 70 something, and she'll want to remarry a Kohen. And pull out the Ksuba. Who was the Ksuba? Oh, it was a Rabbi Willig. Who's Rabbi Willig? 50 years ago. So look it up in the books. So find out, yeah, he was an Orthodox rabbi. And then he wrote, he did the wedding. The rest of the shooting was kosher, because that's within, she could marry a Kohen. because she can't marry a Kohen. So therefore, if she lived with a non-Jew, I would not write down Pesul with her. I didn't want to embarrass her. So what did I do? I asked, so I had this kid, was very, very uncomfortable. I had the Chos Kal and I met with them before the Chasna. She told me the story, she's a Balas Jew. I asked her, was it Jew or non-Jew? She said, that was a non-Jew. Didn't know any better. I tried to calm her down. She feel bad. Said, but I have a problem with the Ksuvah. Anybody else know about the story? Anybody else in the world know of her history? Yeah, one friend. One friend? He told me, I guess, he was going with a girl. He wanted to know. She's like, a girl, she had a history about the Ksuvah. So the friend passed him, yeah. Okay, So they were getting engaged. They were getting married. So I did was just, came early. I rarely come early to anything, but the Sagrish, I try to come early. Come early, tell this guy to come early also. So he came early. While it was just beginning to fall and it started pressing by the Shmogus board, we filled out a tzuba. We're sending it. I could have written out what's called Ve'ul Tada. It's woman who would live with a man. No reason to be so graphic. This woman, and I gave the lowest sum, the lowest sum of money. And I was a witness, and this friend who knew the story was a witness. I said, this is the ksuba, you give it to your wife, and that's the real ksuba. This was done already at the very beginning, and I put it away. No one ever saw that ksuba. Then there was like, whoa, fancy ksuba, filled it out, sold the dog, the whole shebang. And I was still not a great girl, and I saw a red ksuba, beautiful voice, and I never heard a word. After the fast, I took that fancy ksuba, took it home with me, and put it into the circular file. Threw it out. Who took ksubas? A real and a fake. I told the story recently to Rav David Cohen from Brooklyn. Remember the chasana? He told me he once had a chasana like this. He was very much about the shidduch, exactly this kind of story. And listen, he didn't want to do that for whatever reason. He didn't think of it, he didn't want to do it. Listen, I'll read it soon. And, you know, people in today's world, they read the pump, want to know anything anyway, so they do it. So Lahakis, at this wedding, it was one of those perfectly forum weddings. I mean, usually it's a sheepish wedding, it's a rash, don't have to get anything if you want. You can get a pin drop. Comes to read it. So he starts reading it, you know, and to make he starts reading it, and he's like, tremendous top of clock, he doesn't know how to read it. So he thought the punchline was that a few months later, he overheard, or someone came back to him, that it was okay to marry, he was invited to the wedding, he was going to marry the Buddha, who should do this? So what's it like? Rabbi called me the service. Him? He gave me a Riksuba! You can say how the Rabbana have to take the Bizyonis to protect the like a big citizen in his part.
Can you read it wrong?
Yeah, for Yaakov Kamenetsky, that's how he was better. He knew how to read it wrong on the floor. He would read it, he would say this, he'd read that, you know, so on, without missing a step. That's what he used to do. I guess I've done it, just afraid he would this, and just sort of swallow it up. These are all real stories. Alright. Very serious problem. Very serious problem. By the way, this makes it even worse. Oh, horrifically worse. This prohibition exists even if the woman was attacked by a non-Jewish man. Forced herself upon her, what's called Anusa. She's still prohibited to a Kohen, even if the Kohen happens to be her present husband. She has to get divorced. The model is not. Terrible. On the other hand, if she says that this happened, she's not believed. Here we go again. She's not believed. Because, again, maybe she's married to this Mr. Cohen, very nice fella, but Mr. Levy is taller, darker, handsomer, whatever, maybe richer, whatever it may be. So she wants Mr. Levy, but she's married to Mr. Cohen. She tells him, you know, my dear husband, I was coming home from work one day, and this is a walk in the park, and tell him, whoa, was my fault. Very snappily.
So what do you do?
She's snappily.
So there's never a case.
No, they're aging.
Witnesses or whatever it is. So the question is, how does he live with her? She told him that she is prohibited unto him. She's not a believer, but if she tells the truth, then there's a prohibition. The same thing applies in the other case, where the woman said she was unfaithful. So we don't believe him, we don't believe him. What? Yes, he doesn't believe him. What if in deep in his heart he knows she tells the truth? A big problem. A big problem. So Rav Moshe writes, he's not out of belief. Only time he can believe her is a woman who never in her life ever told a lie. You know this person? Thankfully, in this case, unfortunately, people are known to tell lies here and there when it's convenient for them. Yes?
So, if a woman lives with a Jew, she's really still to a guy, but once she got married to him, and it's not. So, for a boy to marry, okay, a woman who lives with a...
She lived with a Jewish boyfriend for 10 years,
yeah.
Now she wants to marry a Cohen, no problem.
But once she married...
Married who?
This Jewish boyfriend.
No, no problem.
And they got divorced.
She's not divorced. I mean, she's not married or something. She's divorced. Divorce is a grush. A separate is a grush. Grush. The very serious, serious issues. Many complicated problems. I said before, if a Kohen lives with a Grusha, the child is a Chola. Halala, so they may not marry a Kohen. If a non-Jew lived with a Jewish woman, I told you before, and had a daughter, that daughter, the children of may not marry a Kohen. A Kohen has a lot of different prohibitions over here. Cohen and I would, sure. Only Cohen Gadol would have that nowadays. A Cholok could marry anybody. A Cholok could marry anybody. A Cholok male could marry anybody. A Cholok in America. Yeah. As far as a divorce, it would be a problem, we don't recognize the marriage. But if she happened to have lived with a husband, then it would not be allowed. Because he's not Jewish. So if a woman lived with a non-Jew, she cannot marry a Cohen.
So
it would be grush, it would be zon. Huh?
We don't count the marriage.
Hate the marriage, but that would be, yes.
A bas Cohen to marry
anyone? A bas Cohen to marry anyone. Yes.
So in a case, building on what you said, in a case where a woman was married before, but in a reform, it was a reform wedding, whatever the circumstances were, and it wasn't an acceptable marriage, can she marry a Kohen then? Because she's not, if she gets divorced. Then
divorced?
If she gets divorced.
Very good. So the question will be, do we recognize that reform marriage? Do you get to be caught in the double bind over here? We said before that whenever there's a reform, conservative, civil marriage, so it's a big machleik is whether married or not. We assume that strictly speaking she's not married. We always require a get just to obviate the whole problem. The problem would be now, if we require a get, then she won't be able to marry this Cohen she wants to marry. If we don't require a get, then we're taking a chance that maybe she's married the first time. See, according to the double bond. Every rabbi handles that differently. I was like, that's a tough question. A tough question. Thank you. the case that we call a shotgun marriage. Does that mean? So you don't know what foundling chakra marriage is. You have to be born in my generation. You know, no one knows chakra marriage. I guess in America today there's no need for anymore. Shotgun marriage is always called, when I was growing up, when you couldn't have a child out of wedlock decently. So this woman is suddenly sees, whoops, she's not seeing that, I'm in trouble. She quickly marries her boyfriend, for whom she's pregnant, and with a preemie. £9, 6 ounces. It was a preemie. So now she has this non-Jewish boyfriend. So she quickly has a... I made a mistake. She is not Jewish. And suddenly she sees she's pregnant. Quickly converts and has the child, which is already Jewish. Can that child marry a Kohen? The answer is no. I had a relative who was a Kohen. My mother's family was Kohanim. Was going out very seriously, about to get engaged with a woman. And this woman was in this situation. Her mother had been not Jewish, converted to shotgun conversion. The child was born Jewish, but the child was conceived as a non-Jewish, from a non-Jewish mother. You look at Medin, you found out, it says in the start of Shulchan Aruch, not allowed. He broke up with her and married for that. It was very painful. Very painful. Then it's a death. Yes. Which I'm going to just go briefly. A woman married two husbands and they both died. We're afraid that maybe they died because they married her. Yeah. Not the same color. One after the other. So some say we're afraid of some kind of physical disease she transmitted, something for bad luck. The whole simon over here, we try to find leniencies, we usually do. And the death could be attributed to something else unrelated to the marriage. Sick, he was old. Not long ago, I received a phone call from somebody, a rabbi, whose daughter was widowed twice. She's still in her 40s, widowed twice. And there was talking of a shidduch with someone I knew. So the rabbi said to me, "Why not? She's allowed to marry because, after all, the first one was sick before she married, the second one was very old. So therefore, it's nothing to do with her." It's not that we try to find leniencies over here.
Otherwise, you wouldn't be allowed to marry such a woman?
Strictly speaking, it's called the Katalanis. So let's go to Simon Yud Gimel. The divorce is called Hafkana. You have to wait the 90-day waiting period. If a woman is divorced or widowed, she must wait 90 days before remarrying, for an obvious reason. Wanted to establish paternity, know who the father is. If the husband dies and she gets married a month or two later, and she has a child 7 months later, we don't know who the father is. She was just pregnant before her husband died, or no, it's a preemie, she's the second husband. If we don't know, we prohibit it in the first place. It's a further remarriage. We'll have fun. And the Chazal went very far. And they choose what they call a low plug. No distinction. It doesn't matter. Even if you know for a fact you're not pregnant. Why? She's too old to have a child. Her husband was overseas. Her husband was in prison. Type of cases. You name it. Her husband was diagnosed as being sterile. All case they found over here. She miscarried after the death of her husband. There's no way she could be pregnant anymore. Doesn't make a difference. Look, look. This applies, this love plug, to a woman who was married and is now, she's a divorced widow. However, there are other cases. Let's say the woman converts. Shabbat Aruch said they have to wait 3 months. If you were, quote, married before the conversion, or really married to a non-Jewish husband, because we wanted to make sure that there was no other child, Jewish or not Jewish, or is not quite Jewish or not Jewish, but the child relates to the father or not related to the father. If the child was, if the woman conceived after her conversion and the child is a Jewish child who relates to his father, if she conceived before the conversion and the child will still be Jewish if she converts while pregnant, as you mentioned before, but is not related to his father, you have to know whether he's related to the father or not. But for this requirement, in my opinion, based on the side of the Shulchan Aruch, we could be more lenient concerning what we call the low plume, concerning the across the board prohibition. If we can determine scientifically that she's not pregnant, then I think we could be lenient. I had a case like this. An only case. This particular time, you know. We screamed, the rabbis screamed against intermarriage. Intermarriage is terrible, intermarriage is terrible. Happens all the time, unfortunately. Intermarriage is terrible. I would never allow an intermarriage of Eichel, right? Ah, no way. Never. Well, the story happened like this. It was June, I mean, last Shabbos before I went away to Sabbath at camp. I meet this fellow, apparently, the guy said to me, I probably met his wife too for a second, I don't remember. We had a shoe. Okay, very nice. During the summer, I got a call from a woman. She's interested in conversion. Push it off. The verse before is push off. Push off, push off, push off. Come back, and someone said, Rabbi, do you know the man in our shul is intermarried? Can't. That guy, what's his name? You met him before. All of a sudden it hit me that that name of that guy was the same name as the woman who was calling me the whole summer. It wasn't some woman calling from left field. She was married, I mean, civilly married to the guy in my shul, and she wasn't Jewish. We had an intermarriage right under my nose. Hell! So what do you do? So I really was in a tizzy, I didn't know what to do. I was ready to get close to Rosh Hashanah, I was ready to get to the sun. So I said, this can't be, this. But she wanted to convert. Now they have conversion. Usually the din is, in Shulchan Aruch, strictly speaking, the man lived with a woman and she wasn't Jewish, then we're not supposed to convert her. Then it's a Mishnah. We're not supposed to convert her. It's not nice, you know, the Jewish woman in conversion, you know. It's not nice. But the Rambam said that if you can live with her anyway, better to convert her, so it shouldn't be in violation of a more serious prohibition. That's not my mind. So look, was she sincere, not sincere? She went to a rabbi in Monty. That was a Shabbos, and the Rosh Hashanah was Monday that year. So I didn't know about the story until 2 weeks before Rosh Hashanah. That Shabbos, 10 days before Rosh Hashanah, she wasn't there. So I have a problem. Let's go your shoe into my shoe. Married to a Jew. She wasn't there. She went to Mantz. There was a certain very chush of her own. He's going to try to call it. He's going to discuss whether you could candidate for conversion. He had the shop. They called this rabbi. Rabbi smiled. I can see the smile in the front of the rabbi. She's a very sincere person. I think there should be a conversion, should be done. But since she lives in your community, I'll let you do it. But I won't convert her because I'm afraid she's pregnant. Yes, pregnant. No pregnant. Yes, pregnant. No pregnant. So it's ready. Now they're a week before Shabbos. The days are counting down. Bad ticket. See, suck it out of it. So I called her. I speak to them. I said, you know, I met them that week before Shabbos. You know, see, the new Shiva guys. And then we're about to go home. All of a sudden I said, hey, Shabbos brothers. And I said, Shabbos, make a wedding meal. We went to the pizza shop. We got two of the guys in the back, so we got two guys on the pizza shop. We got Mahatma Suda with a Shabbat problem. We had some great stuff from this and this and that. And I hope it'll happen over here. I rely on the fact that he had not lived with her since the child was born. And then she obviously wasn't pregnant. She just had a child 2 months or two before. So on that basis, we assume there's no problem with Mahatma. These are all stories. Every time I'm telling, there are many more. And I have to catch my bus back. So, I will continue next week.